thank you very much, Max Irons, for talking to me.
My pleasure.
About the woman in gold. A really challenging role for you, I imagine. You don't speak in English.
I know. It was a bit of a shock, actually. I got a phone call from Harvey Weinstein. He's arguably one of the most important producers in the world. And I went in to meet him, which is a terrifying prospect. And we had a nice chat, and it was going good. And I was saying my goodbyes, and he went, "Oh, I've got this part in mind for you." And I said, "Fantastic, you know." All bells going off. And he said, "Yeah, it's in German. Can you speak German?" And I said, "No." And he went, "Well, you can learn by tomorrow." I said, "Okay." And he's the only kind of guy you'd say okay to. Anyone else, you'd go, that's a physical impossibility. But I got given this 2-page monologue in German. So I went on Google and used YouTube to the best of my ability and sort of knocked together this, what was probably terrible German audition, but tried to look confident doing it, and somehow it landed me the part.
That's amazing. I thought it would have been you trying to convince people, like, "I promise you I can do it in time," not the other way around.
I'm sure, I can't remember that, but there probably was, I've probably blotted out the grovelling, but that's how I remember it going down, yeah.
And so then...
I did always think they made a terrible mistake, because he was also an opera singer, you know, so he was singing Mozart in Italian. And I just thought, why haven't they cast an Austrian singer? This is Vienna. There's loads of them. But no, they cast me.
That was the other thing I was going to say. You do sing as well. So is that you?
I was actually singing on the day, which singing in public is my ultimate fear. Above all other fears, it's based in drama school, terrible experiences. But I had to suck it up and sing Mozart in front of, I don't know, 100 people. But they did decide to dub me, which my feelings are not hurt. I'm fine with that, totally fine.
At least it sounded better. What is it about singing then that you think just gets you a little bit nervous?
Well, I used to sing quite confidently with my guitar on stage. When I was at school, you'd have those concerts, and I used to sing ballads. Ben Harper, I don't know if you know that guy. And I used to think I was really good. And then my very close friend, very close, said to me once, you know, it was lovely Sunday afternoon, lying in the grass, and he went, "Do you remember that time you sang that song in front of 600 people?" And I went, "Yeah." He went, "You were terrible." And it broke my heart. And he didn't use the word terrible. He used a much worse word than terrible. So from that, combined with drama school, which was a lot of jazz hands and horrible folk singing, scarred me.
Were you trying to do it to impress all the ladies in your school?
One particular lady. Ah.
Yeah. Did it have any success?
It did. Well, I don't know if it was the song that led to the success or something else, but I thought it was the song anyway. God.
It's the effort that you put in, you see. You should have seen the romantic heart of what you were doing.
Yeah, the intention was definitely there. The execution, not totally sure.
Okay, now it is an intense film, this one. Some quite emotional scenes, particularly the escape scenes. So sort of how was that for you as an actor?
Well, people always ask you, you know, what is the thing that you mainly had to, the research you had to do, the research you had to do for the particular character. For this film, it was mainly getting your head around the emotional notion of saying goodbye in a very sort of cerebral way, not being, you know, dragged apart from your family, screaming and crying, but no, sitting down with them and saying, "Okay, this is the last time I'm going to see you." Because, you know, the Holocaust was happening around them. They weren't, it's not like they didn't have the benefit of historical hindsight to look back and recognize what it was for what it was. They didn't know the fate of their family. They just knew they were saying goodbye to them and to their country. So to get your head around that emotionally, and I think Tatiana, who had a scene which for me was my favorite scene in the film, where she said goodbye to her father, and it was incredibly heartbreaking. That was the main thrust of what we had to deal with.
In terms of, obviously, because you're in the flashback scenes, did you get to meet Helen Mirren at all?
We did. It was funny because, as you say, we were involved in the flashbacks, and they were in modern day, so we would see each other in the makeup trailer and sort of say, what's this film you're doing? What's it like? What's the tone of it? What's the feeling? But it was funny, I used to get into the car every morning, and I'd say to the guy driving, "Is Helen there today? I need to know." "I don't know." "You've got to find out for me. I can't just walk in there with, you know, sleepy dust in my eyes and meet her." Because, I thought I was going to meet the Queen. That's what it felt like.
She pretty much is the Queen.
She pretty much is the Queen. So then the day came, Helen's there. You're kidding me, what, she's in the makeup job? Am I going to be sitting near her? Yes, you're going to be sitting. Am I going to have to talk to her? Because I don't think I can talk to her this morning. But then, of course, she's lovely and charming, down to earth, and none of the airs and graces you might expect from someone of her level.
Do you think everyone's like that? Do you find that most people you're like, oh my God, this person is going to make me, you know, sort of quiver in my boots, and are actually quite nice in reality?
Well, generally speaking, it's the great actors that you come across, you're fortunate enough to come across, because they embody the roles so seamlessly that it's hard to actually... And also, generally speaking, the great actors out there don't do press that have much to do with their personal lives. You don't see them falling in and out of clubs, and you don't really know who they're dating. You know them from their work, so you don't consequently really know who they are. So you meet them, and they tend to be an amalgamation of their characters, or one in particular, in Helen's case, the Queen.
Do you have interest going on that sort of, you know, not, don't know about their personal life? Do you think that's slightly easier, though, for that generation of actors than it is maybe for your generation, because there's, you know, there's social media and things, I mean, there are people and internet, you know, you sort of type in your name to Google and it will come up with someone who's, you know, just made their own fan site and they're documenting everything about you.
I think there's a lot more pressure on people to operate in that way. And, you know, for example, I don't do Twitter, but I've been reliably told that if I did do Twitter, my career would probably be going better. But I don't want to do it. It doesn't work for me. And, you know, if you look out there, there are many, many young actors who have chosen not to engage that way, to just do the work and then have their life very separate to that. And I'm happy with that choice. I don't think it's necessary.
No. So there is actually that pressure on you to sort of put yourself out there and sort of make yourself available to fans, I guess.
Well, I think it's what is often expected now. And, you know, for some people, it does great things. It's just I personally don't deal with that world of technology and constant connection. You know, I lose my phone quite often, and when I do, I love it. It's the best thing. No one can get hold of me. Everyone else hates it. I love it.
You are one of those people that takes ages to reply to a text, then?
I get slightly nervous and sweaty when I get a text, yeah.
I'm known for being terrible.
Well, you know, you've got the phone, you've got text, you've got emails. I sort of operate at that level. Why would I add to that Instagram, Twitter, Facebook? I'd have a nervous breakdown, yeah.
And it's all people sort of showing off about their lives quite often, isn't it? It's kind of like, look at me, I'm doing this.
Well, there is also a bit of that sort of social celebrity. Again, exhausting, terrifying, yeah.
And one of the things I was thinking, though, is there's... I feel like there's quite a nice little pack of British actors who all sort of interlink. You've all sort of worked on different things with each other, or you know someone else that's worked on this with each other. Does it feel like that? Sort of, I'm thinking like the Riot Club sort of crew, and then sort of look at different projects and TV series and things you've done. You've worked with all these other people.
There is certainly, you hear the term Brit pack thrown about. And that, you know, whenever you're going out for a part, and if you don't get it, you go, right, who got it? And you know the person instantly. But it sort of takes the edge off, because you're like, oh, they are nice, and they're English, and they're good, so I'm quite happy for them. But yeah, there is. But I try not to just hang around with actors, because I think it would make you crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you live in New York, so do you enjoy sort of that city, the fast pace of it?
I do love New York. I think it's a pretty great, if not the greatest city in the world. I'm coming home though, back to London, which of course I'm very happy about. It's a lovely city as well, but I feel that I haven't quite finished New York. But you know, never say never. I might go back.
Oh, that's the beauty of it, though. You can sort of split your time if you want.
Well, it's the good thing about my job is you get to travel a lot. But it turns out that the film industry now is so heavily set up in London, much more so than one might think, much more so than LA. So many things are being made here. So I'm constantly needing to be here. So I live in New York, but I find myself coming home for 2 weeks at a time here and there, which is sort of discombobulating and tough on a relationship. So I think a move back is necessary.
Now, you do obviously have a famous father. Mm-hmm. Do you think that has helped you at all in your career?
It's a funny one. Yes and no. I think I'd be lying if I said anything other. I went to drama school, and after you leave drama school, what it is it's all about getting in to meet the casting directors, and from that point on, they help you. Then, you know, they get you the jobs, ultimately. And I'd be lying if I said maybe there wasn't a little more interest from those casting directors to perhaps meet me. However, the other side of the coin is, if I was to go in and do a terrible job, or be late, or show any kind of entitlement or arrogance, they wouldn't perhaps forget or forgive me for it. So I have to go in and do the good job. And obviously there is that, you know, that name follows me, which is slightly tedious. And it's sort of outside of your control. So there's no point trying to combat it. I think, again, but it sort of takes you back to the same thing. All you can do is try to just do the best work possible and get on with your career. Yeah.
I was going to say, in one respect, I feel like Ryan Reynolds is trying to make a bit of a change. Mm-hmm. His sort of career path, he's doing this. I think he's just done this quite quirky film called The Voices as well. Is that something that you're sort of conscious of, like getting trapped in sort of one realm? Or do you think it's... I mean, I don't think you have so far, so I'm sure you're not going to, but does it worry you?
I don't think I have so far. I started off in young adult fiction, and I've managed so far to do sort of theatre every year, a bit of TV almost every year. And now the films that are coming through are varied, which is nice. And also it helps when you get to a certain age. I'm almost 30. And you find around this age that the parts that start coming into your inbox are different. They're no longer based on that set of qualities that young people often have. It becomes much more interesting and three-dimensional. And I think also the franchise system, you can be in danger of getting swallowed up by a particular franchise. And we look at the people who have survived them. Robert Pattinson, for instance, part of the biggest franchise on Earth, and yet now he's working with some great, great people, David Cronenberg and the likes. But then there are other people who you could mention and think of who have been involved and you haven't heard of them again. And that's just sort of, that's the roll of the dice, really. Yeah.
So if a massive sort of book franchise sort of came and offered you a part, I mean, like, hypothetically, one might be the next one that they're going to turn into a set of films, is something that you would actually be wary of doing?
Yeah, I think I would be. I mean, of course, I'd love to be involved. If it was a great project, it's a great project, no matter what it is. And you know, there is a security in being involved in the franchise. But, yeah, I would be wary. Unless it's a superhero movie, of course, in which I'm all in.
What would be your favourite superhero to play?
Favourites? Oh, God. I don't know. It'll never happen, ever. And actually, it wouldn't be great to play because you'd be Silver all the time. But the Silver Surfer.
Oh, really? What is it about it?
Well, he gets to fly around the universe on a surfboard. What's not good about that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I don't think he's the obvious choice. I don't think many people will go for that.
Well, who else is there? I mean, there are so many.
No. We're about to be bombarded by superhero films anyway.
I know. No, I'm going to stick with the Silver Surfer. I think he's slick.
I like it. So 30, are you sort of feeling that you got to get grown up? Do you feel grown up yet?
No. It's funny that. But recently I was on holiday with my family and they were in the sea swimming with those squiggly rubber things.
Oh, yeah, like the noodle things.
The noodle things. Yeah. And I looked at them and thought, they're not grown up either. Look at them, they're ridiculous people, weird humans doing weird things in water. So, yeah, you know, maybe it just never happens. Maybe you never reach that point where you actually feel grown up. But I'm getting a dog.
What kind of dog are you going to get?
I haven't quite decided yet, but I've decided I've reached the point in my life when I can responsibly have a dog.
You can actually look after another human being. No, it's not a human being. It's an animal. Step one. It's quite a lot of work.
Yeah, and I'm very looking forward to that little boy. I want him to be my best friend. He'll never let me down and always love me, and I will always love him. That's what I want in my life.
Have you had a dog before?
Well, my family have always had dogs, but never my own best friend.
Oh, well, thank you so much for talking to me.
My pleasure.